The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Fred Brack from the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and serving the Triangle Radio Reading Service for the last 10 years. Thank you, Carter Glass. They can be reached by calling 919-781-1973. Well, we are going to make one more visit to the June 2018 edition of Our State, celebrating North Carolina magazine. This has been the annual coastal issue. We've been talking all about surfing for the last 3 weeks. And I promised you, and the first week, that I was going to go back to the beginning and read something very unusual. Our state has done a retrospective on 60 years of it's celebrating 85 years right now. I'm not sure how many years the photo essays go back, but they've got a celebration of the photo essays here. And I said I would come back and interpret those for you, for those of you who cannot enjoy their visual beauty. And so now's the time, because this is the last time I am going to be reading from this magazine. Let's do it to it. There's a nice overview picture at the top. It says, our panoramic photo essays enable to expand readers' perspectives of places like the town of Hot Springs and the French Broad River. So this is a high-up view. We see the river. We see a bridge. We see lots of green trees. And then you see little breaks in the trees, and you can tell those are signs of civilization. And then there's one big open area by a turn in the river, I think, which is kind of like a big town field or something. So, celebrating 85 years, 1933 to 2018. For six decades of this magazine's history, pictures appeared mostly in black and white. When full color finally saturated our pages in 1996, we introduced a new feature, a monthly photo essay celebrating a single topic, from heritage to food to place. To commemorate our 85th anniversary, we honor the pivotal role of photography in our state with a retrospective of some of the most eye-catching scenes. And there are pictures of the actual magazine single or double spreads. Generally, it's a double spread which began these essays, and you would remember some of them, no doubt, if you were long-time readers of the magazine. I see Carolina Scott's Eyes on Fort Bragg, The Making of a North Carolina Vineyard, Breakfast in North Carolina, Island Magic, Fiddlers, a photo essay, Coastal Landmarks, Giants of the Forest, Beautiful Game, Gimme Some Sugar, a tasty dessert tour, Black Mountain, Collecting Carolina, Native North Carolina, Historic Kitchens, and Pride of the Patch, among others. With its debut on June 3, 1933, this magazine became part of the North Carolina landscape. By the third issue, a non-portrait photograph of UNC's bell tower appeared on the cover for the first time. The caption called the bell tower one of the most attractive spots to be found in the state. For the next 65 years, the state, as this magazine was called then, showcased hundreds of our most attractive spots, from Newfound Gap to the Neuse River, from Buttercups and Banner Elk to Tulips and Tryon Palace. But for 65 years, something was missing. While the state reflected the richness of North Carolina in its stories, it couldn't capture the full splendor of the landscape we love. Until the mid-90s, when more than half of the magazine was still printed in black and white. in April 1996, with a new publisher, a sea change happened. That month, for the first time in the state's history, the feature stories, all four of them, appeared in color. With the August issue came a name change to Our State. And the next month, the entire magazine appeared in full color. That November saw the first photo essay, four pages called Call of the Wild, devoted to wildlife. Although modest in scope, the introduction of a photo essay kicked off a new way for Our State to tell stories. In his monthly column, then-editor Scott Smith described how the magazine portrayed its love for this state, proclaiming, "No longer is it going to be done largely through words. The pictures will provide an equal partner." For the past two decades, our photo essays, which now span 20 pages or more and are often a year in the making, have become the signature centerpiece of this magazine and create an unparalleled experience on the page. This month, to celebrate our 85th anniversary, we've pulled together a special gallery of some of our favorite photo essays, the ones that continue to inspire, delight, and remind us that life in North Carolina is beautiful. Elizabeth Hudson, Editor-in-Chief. So I begin. Landscape. In 2010, we photographed North Carolina from above, capturing a view of Whiteside Mountains few get to see unless they're flying around it. To our surprise, an interesting set of images showed the geographic similarities between a field in Hendersonville and Cape Point at Hatteras. So here at the top, we see Whiteside Mountain, and you sure can see why it's called that. Down below, there is a sea of green, the trees growing right up to the edge of a sheer rock face. And then at the top of the rock face, more green right to the edge and patches of moss creeping down over the very steep side of the mountain. And it's mostly white, a little bit of a purplish color thrown in there for good measure. Down at the bottom, under the heading Aerial Reflections, they show those images and show how similar a field looks to a point of land someplace else. Agriculture. The cows of Iredell County. June is North Carolina Dairy Month, and Iredell has been our leading cow county since agricultural records were first kept. This 2014 photo essay followed a day in the life of eight dairy farmers and their cows, including this happy Jersey cow on Dennis Lehman's farm in Statesville. Now, this cow looks like it is slightly scared, perhaps, but really curious about the photographer. It's almost like he's got his head tilted on one side and he's staring right at the lens. And you got a big close-up of his snout and the numbers which are attached to his ear. It's identical on both sides, and I suppose that's in case one drops off. This is cow number 544, black on yellow tags. Beautiful brown color. Skin looks great. And a field of gold extending far into the distance. Fruits of labor. We're peach people. We claim the Sandhills as the peach capital of North Carolina. And a photo essay on Callaway Farms in Eagle Springs and its 8,000 bushel a year crop showed why. The article was entitled Sweet Carolina. And here is a picture of a gorgeously perfect peach still on the tree. Ruby Reds. North Carolina ranks fourth in the nation for strawberry production, and one of our sweetest photo essays celebrated the importance of this top berry crop from farm to ice cream cone. Strawberry season was the name of the article, and there was a hand holding a very large strawberry up in the air against beautiful blue sky with just some wispy clouds. And above, pictures from the article, a close-up of strawberries piled high in cardboard boxes. And then we have pucker up persimmon. Most North Carolinians know what it means to eat sweet persimmons in a pudding, and they've learned not to pluck an unripe one off the tree. Our photo essay puts us back in our grandmother's kitchens, and it was entitled North Carolina's Sweet Simmons. So why is the persimmon our most peculiar fruit? And then there's a close-up of these fruits, which look something like peaches, but not with that fuzzy skin. They're very smooth-skinned fruit with a leftover piece of leaf sticking out of the top, now turning black, having been picked from the tree. And last on this double spread, autumn apples. We gave mountain apples their due with a photo essay recognizing Henderson County's 200-some apple growers, inspiring our readers to go picking and then to get pie baking. Mountain apples was the title, and here's somebody peeling an apple with a penknife. Flowers. Beautiful botanicals. We've published more than a dozen springtime photo essays devoted to native flowers, like this one on our abundant azalea stands, featuring the flame azaleas found along the Appalachian Trail and the Formosa azaleas in the WRAL Gardens in Raleigh. So here's a close-up of a Formosa azalea. It's been sprayed with water, or it is taken right after a rainstorm, because there are lots of big drops on this multi-pink-colored leaf. And then the cover of the article to the left, an abundance of azaleas, a whole hillside of them. Daisies and dogwoods. The oxeye daisy was our state flower from the early 1900s until legislatures honored the dogwood in 1941. In a photo essay about these two blooms, we follow a farmer at Fishing Creek Flower Farm. And we learn of the daisy chain commencement tradition at Meredith College. So we see the farmer walking alongside his dog, whose head is down, so I can't tell you what kind it is. Might be a lab, not sure. He's got two big white 5-gallon pails filled with daisies. And there's a picture of a young lady at Meredith College with her daisies. Mountains. Seasonal showplace. Our most popular photo essays reflect the splendor of North Carolina's distinctive seasons. This one, Autumn in Ashe County, paid tribute to barn quilts, golden leaves, and the pastoral scenes that bring us peace. Wonderful picture here of a farmhouse. This one has kind of an extension built on the front with some small windows, and then the original building behind with weathered clapboards and a big fancy, I don't really know what to call it. I guess you'd call it a design. An artistic design has been mounted on the near the peak on the side. It's multicolored panels of yellow and perhaps a reddish color and some blues. And there's some old farm equipment in front of a fence in the front and some fall foliage in the background and another building up behind a fence and a wall on the right-hand side. And there's a picture here of St. Mary's Episcopal Church. It's taken really low to the ground, so the first thing you see on the bottom quarter of the page is dead leaves. And then we look up, and we see the church, and at the top we see some branches of some leaves hanging down. The coast. Sea and sky. On a 3-by-5-mile barrier island called Bald Head, our photographer captured the perfect ecosystem of marshland, maritime forest, and beach. Our photo essays are more than pretty pictures. They also spark environmental awareness. So we have a close-up here of some beach plants sticking out of a dune, and of course they are essential for keeping the dunes intact. And then we have a view of four houses or three houses and a small secondary house beside one of them. They all look rather the same. They've got chimneys on both ends, white chimneys sticking out of the roofs, which run up from the front and drop down the back. They've all got porches. The porches are all the same materials. The top is finished the same. So some builder built all of these exactly the same way. I guess the series was called The Quiet While, Baldhead Island. Now, identity. On this page, or rather on this land, with images as dramatic as the performances themselves, the photo essay on the Lost Colony outdoor drama made readers feel as if they had a front row seat to one of North Carolina's most compelling mysteries. On the right, there is a person dressed, if you will, as an Indian, holding feathers up on each hand, bare-chested, bare-legged, beads around the neck, squatting down partway to the ground, legs out to the side, some sort of an animal. I was going to say kilt. Something's wrapped around his waist and hanging down like a tail behind him, and a lot of smoke behind him. So he's doing some sort of a dance and some sort of a prayer, perhaps. There's the pictures from inside. There's the old schooner mast, and here's a woman in an Elizabethan costume. Adventure, River Magic. We paired our senior writer and editor with a photographer to document a 200-mile kayak trip down the Cape Fear River. We sorted through 2,000 images to put together a 30-page photo essay, which won a 2016 National City and Regional Magazine Award. The article apparently was entitled A Long Way to the Sea. There are three people kayaking down a river in the late afternoon and then out on the sea itself with a much larger ship in the background. And here's somebody going by what is probably a cedar tree completely in the water. You can see where the roots are starting at the bottom. It's the trunk is breaking up above considerably above the water and forming ridges which seem to extend down as roots into the water. And a person coming by in a kayak is leaning back in his seat to look upwards at the branches of the cedar tree. Heroes, the boys of summer. Kinston's first professional baseball team started in 1908, and we were honored to photograph their final season before the team moved to Zebulon in 2012. Article appears to be entitled Home Team. There are five players looking from the dugout through a fence, and then there's somebody at bat. And then there's a picture of some gear, a hat, sunglasses, and a glove sitting on a railing, and a close-up of a young African-American man with his baseball cap on, obviously, and the sort of looks like a symbol of the Indians on the top at that time, and he is staring off at his teammates, presumably. And on the right-hand side, it says All Stars, here, there, in fall, winter, spring, and baseball season. Summertime photo essays on our nine minor league teams remind us that the spirit of the sport endears. And here's number 48 walking down past the concrete walls into the bright sunlight onto the field. Here's a young would-be future player on the team standing on a lawn. His bat is poised. He is ready to take a shot at the ball that Dad is probably throwing to him. And then there's some fireworks that are shot off from the middle of one of the fields. Continuing the celebration of 85 years, iconic views. The legacy continues. More than 200 photo essays later, We've covered Potters and Seagrove, Seasons in the Sandhills, and the Seven Standing Lighthouses, Biltmore at Christmastime, Barbecue in Lexington, and the Seafood of Down East. While ambitious in scope, these pages remain a joy to create and share. This is our mission each month, to hold up a mirror to North Carolina, and we hope you'll continue to love what you see. The main picture on this page is a fairly dark one of a tree-covered hillside. It says Mile High Mountain. The familiar profile of Grandfather Mountain stretches from forehead to chin. We took a closer look at the biological diversity contained within its contours in a beautiful photo essay that deepened our appreciation for the old man and the majesty of our state. And there are a few other photos on the page scattered around, including a little salamander that's been wrestled from the ground and is crawling over somebody's thumb. And that's about it for our retrospective. You are listening to Our State Magazine and the Triangle Radio Reading Service. If you have any comments on our program, please call the studios, 919-832-5138. We have time to read just a little bit more. In the Where We Live Downtown series, one of my favorite little towns, Swansboro. In this quaint, laid-back town in Onslow County, every turn leads you back to the water. A picture here of a couple of paddleboarders right downtown. Stand-up paddleboard rentals from Pogie's Fishing Center provide a unique perspective of the friendly city by the sea. In downtown Swansboro, you can see the water from almost anywhere. As you drive into town, the sun reflects off of it like diamonds. As you eat lunch, kayakers glide by on their way to Hammocks Beach State Park. As you wander Front Street, it peeks out between red brick buildings. And in this historic port town, that's the point. At the mouth of the White Oak River, located along the Intracoastal Waterway and minutes from Atlantic Beach, Swansboro is and always has been sustained by the water. It was the site of an Algonquin Indian village long before it became a busy colonial port. Famed for shipbuilding in the 18th and 19th centuries, Swansboro was largely a fishing village by the 1900s. These days, Front Street bustles with more tourists than fishmongers and sailors, but at every turn, the water beckons and beauty abounds, just as it always has. Here's a familiar shot to me downtown at Bake Bottle and Brew. Grab a cup of coffee or enjoy a cold drink waterside. If you're lucky, you might spot a pod of dolphins. This is a three-story building with two balconies above the main deck, which is has a white picket fence along the edge separating it from the short marsh leading out to the water. There's a dock going out, American flag out in front. And on the next page, it says, just one block from the water at Church Street Deli and Pub, order the famous grilled Reuben. After lunch, search for coastal antiques at Poor Man's Hole. Then check out Swansboro's oldest building, the Old Brick Store, built in 1839 on a lot once owned by legendary shipbuilder Captain Otway Burns, who was memorialized in Bicentennial Park, which is just across the street from downtown. There's a photograph of him here. And the Old Brick Store, and indeed it looks like an old brick building. And then, across the bridges that connect Swansboro to Bogue Sound and Emerald Isle, stand a veritable legend on the Carolina coast, Clyde Phillips Seafood Market. Vacationing beachgoers and residents alike have been buying Phillips seafood since 1962, but at sunset, the view of the Captain Phillips shrimp boat docked outside the market on the White Oak River is nearly as impressive as the local shrimp themselves. Nice evening picture of the boat. The sun is setting behind it. It has set. You just got a bright section of the sky there, and those trawling arms way, way up in the air against the white hull. And there's a duck swimming away from the boat. Come sail away. Swansboro seafaring history comes to life at the Swansboro Area Heritage Center, which houses a 16-foot replica of a North Carolina spirit sail skiff, a speedy flat-bottom boat with a clever design. Sprit sails could navigate in just inches of shallow water and were used for fishing along the Carolina coast during the late 19th century. No swans in sight. The settlement at the mouth of the White Oak River was established in 1730 and was known as Weeks Wharf, Bogue, and Newtown before receiving its official name in 1783. Swansboro. Now that's spelled with two N's in swans, and borough is spelled out B-O-R-O-U-G-H, in honor of Samuel Swan, the former Speaker of the North Carolina House of Commons. But of course, right now, it's Swansboro, spelled very simply, Swansboro, B-O-R-O. We have not time to read the next article, which is entitled The Beekeepers in Robbinsville. And then there's something about Moorhead City called A New Promise and Wrightsville Beach called Hang Loose. And I guess I'm trying to give you reasons to go catch the magazine yourself. Although it's just about time for the July issue to come out. Couple of ads here in the last minute or so that we have. This one is for Omni Resorts, the Grove Park Inn in Asheville. What a wonderful place that is. There's more than one way to fall in love with a destination. Experience the Omni Grove Park Inn with sweeping panoramic views as you dine mountainside in one of several innovative restaurants. Take on the challenge of our 18-hole Donald Ross-designed golf course or indulge in a luxurious treatment at our award-winning spa, voted among the top 20 resort spas in the United States. They are part of the Omni Hotel chain, so you'd find that at omnihotels.com/Grove Park. Boone, North Carolina would like you to visit. We have hiking trails for experienced outdoorsmen. If your six-year-old fits that description, our hats are off to you. Boone, North Carolina, it's better here than there. There are also less strenuous trails for the uninitiated and lots of shops and galleries for people who like to walk around indoors. Website exploreboone.com. And then there's North Carolina Byway. Experience some of North Carolina's most breathtaking coastal scenery and enjoyed the road less traveled. Featured byway is Cape Fear Historic Byway, North New Hanover County, 8 miles long. Others are Airlie Road, Alligator River, Brunswick Town Road, Edenton-Windsor Loop, Outer Banks Scenic Byway, Pamlico Scenic Byway, Perquimans Crossing, and Roanoke Voyages Corridor. If any of those intrigue you, and they go from 1.5 miles to 142.5 miles, then download a free North Carolina Scenic Byways guidebook at ncdot.gov/travel/scenic. Well, that's all the time we have for today's episode of Our State Magazine. Hope you enjoyed it. Listen again next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the Triangle Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. Any comments and questions you may have, give the studios a call, 919-832-5138. So long until next time.